Around the NFL podcast are tanking for Tamposi.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm coming to you from a country filled with heroes again, historically perhaps, in three different time zones. Mark Sessler, California. Greg Rosenthal, California. Pacific handled the old Zeuser here in Central Texas, Central Time, held down. And over in New Hampshire, Eastern Time, at the Don Corleone Estate, Ricky Hollywood. What is up, boys and girls?
Hey, Dan.
Holding it down here in L.A. Holding it down.
That we are. I don't know why we need to tank for Tamposi. We have her on the payroll already at a very affordable rate.
Yeah, so, I mean,
mission accomplished. Is
right. That was our that was our 2017 season. I think we tanked for Tamposi and then ended up getting the number one draft pick after that disaster.
No comment. John Ward is the top insurance guy here in Gatesville, Texas, my wife's hometown, and he's been so nice to let me use his offices here in the downtown Gatesville sector for today's show. And so shout out to John. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying the small town Texas life. It's very hot here. I mean, it's absurdly hot. And the people know it. They might not talk about it all the time, but I know that they can tell that like it's hotter than it needs to be here. It's not going to be a talking
point. I'm sure
they're
aware. They live there.
Right, but at a certain point, there was just a understanding that it's never going to change, so we're just going to live with it. But, you know, when somebody like me comes in, maybe I'm putting the conversation back out there again that it's too hot in Texas and starting that conversation.
I do find that each of your comments about your experience there seems to paint you as someone coming in from out of town and operating as like a societal rainmaker. It's sort of like overrun. I wonder if they'll do a story about me in the local newspaper with a comment from last week.
I have an update on that. I've been talking to some of the townspeople here. It's a very nice, close-knit community. My wife, Emily, who went to school here, I hung out with some of her high school friends yesterday, and I did again broach the idea of, okay, so the old Zeuser's in town. He came in on a steed. Steel cowboy, Bon Jovi. Was that what it was, Greg? You were a Jovi guy. Your brother was.
I was. Yeah, I was not. It was a steel horse he rode.
Steel horse. I'm a cowboy on a steel horse. I ride. Anyway, I came into town and I'm doing the podcast here, of course. And we have a very successful pro football podcast and we're all very proud of it. On top of that, we're going to be doing our NFL Network show. And I'll be doing it from here in Texas when it returns next week. That feels, in a small town in Texas, and I'm not trying to be demeaning, I'm being serious, like a pretty big deal. So I talked to some of the townspeople. I said, can I get in the Gatesville Messenger, which is the paper of record here? And I did, but I did also throw out there important caveats. One, I need the cover. You're not going to put me in the inside of the paper. I want to be on the cover.
Is this weekly, like a weekly thing? Or
it's
what,
weekly. What kind of paper? Yeah. Okay. It's a weekly periodical. Very, very nice job they do covering the region. And I want a photo. So I want a photo and I want the cover. And if I do that, I'll agree to an interview.
What is the headline? Raging egotist arrives from California? Wait, you've announced yourself, by the way. Also, you opened that comment by suggesting that you're the cowboy and the horse rider in the middle of a Texas town. I don't think you've ever ridden a horse in
area man using third person flies into town, demands article.
All right. You want the headline? I mean, I see you guys are stuck in your homes in LA and I understand there's a bitterness involved there. I'm telling
Please,
you the headline.
I've been at the beach 3 out of the last 5 days. Give me a break with 100-degree.
I know you love it. This is the best time of your life.
Love me some.
You've never had a better time than these last 3 months. We all know that, Greg.
I'd like to see Texas, but okay.
Headline: NFL Network star lands in small town Texas.
I don't understand the concept. This is what's filling most of your mind during your trip to Texas.
How are you pitching this to the paper?
Like I said, this is a great, fine, close in the community. Everybody knows everybody. And one of Emily's friends is connected to the higher ups at the Messenger.
So who's
so she's going to put in a word?
She's going to do the pitching. She is your pitch. She's your PR flack, essentially. Yes.
Again, I need front page. I need a photo. And if I get that, they get the interview.
Right. Well, Godspeed to you. This is a noble mission, if nothing else.
All right. Today's show. It's going to be a good one. We spun the wheel and it landed on the Baltimore Ravens, the defending AFC North champion. So we are going to have a conversation with Greg, someone that you have a good relationship with and who is very knowledgeable of the team. Want to tell the audience?
Glenn Clark. Yeah, he's been covering the Ravens as long as I can remember. I would guess over a decade, but does radio out of Baltimore. Yes. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Good get.
I feel like we've done a really good job procuring talent to discuss these teams for the deep dives, and I'm sure Glenn's going to be another hit. So we got Glenn coming up. But before that, let us hit the news.
This is Bob Bates, DDS, ATN correspondent for all matters, Denzel Mims, Boat Universities, and Back Motors related. Sick 'em Bears.
See, I'm bringing that Texas flair here. I mean, Bob Bates is on the show today. Get Bob's voice on there. You know you're doing something right.
We have a varied list of stringers. That's for sure on this show.
Imagine if there is no Baylor Bears this year. Who knows? He might have to be full-time Denzel Mims correspondent. That might have to be a daily feature on the podcast.
You're also assuming there's going to be Denzel Mims playing football, which maybe is a
tremendous leap.
Hoping for
no
it.
Assumption to make at this point. All right, let's get to the news. We'll start with some very bad news for the Philadelphia Eagles, who lose one of the best guards in the league. Brandon Brooks suffered a torn left Achilles tendon while working out at the Eagles complex on Monday. And this is a guy when some people put more into Pro Football Focus than others. I understand that, but he was ranked as the number one overall guard in football last season. He is 30 years old. He's entering his age 31 season. He hadn't missed a game since 2016, but he also tore the right Achilles during the playoffs a year and a half ago. So terrible blow for the Eagles. Greg, you like their roster. You loved it last year. You still like it, and you take Brooks out of the mix. How much does this hurt them?
It's a killer. I mean, not just PFF, but the real tape jockeys who are into it, like Brandon Thorne or Brian Ballinger, they think Brooks is the best guy in the league. I think right now he had the title, and you feel for him first. I mean, he's a guy who's spoken about, very publicly about his mental health issues and how, anxiety had prevented him, if you remember, from playing at one point, and to go through two major injuries like this in such a short amount of time for what, who knows? It could have been maybe a Hall of Fame type of career. He certainly, was having as great a career as you could, is a killer. And then it's a killer for the Eagles too, who have to have the worst injury luck of any team in the league. I mean, they're always right near the bottom of that Football Outsiders, missed games from starters list. And they've been like that really since they won their Super Bowl. Even that year, they were pretty banged up. But those last 2 years, I don't think we really saw who the Eagles were because they were so hurt. And now they're stuck with it again, one of their key pieces.
Yeah, I mean, in a league where we might not get a full helping of training camp, preseason games, suddenly it sounds like Matt Pryor, who is, he is 6'7", by the way. He is like bigger than most human beings, like front doors. But But you're talking about a line that won't have a chance to gel even with Brooks, and now you've got his backup in. And you can think of teams every season where they look good, and then in the offensive line suffers injuries, especially along the interior. Sometimes the whole offense is affected and it crumbles. And that's not their only injury issue right now in the offseason. So problems for the Eagles right away.
Well, and you think about their offensive line, I think that's what they're known for, that and their defensive line. So now you're replacing Jason Peters at left tackle and Brandon Brooks at right guard. And you have a first-round pick at left tackle, but you haven't really seen him play at a high level. And so now suddenly you're kind of like the Cowboys, where you're known for your line, but your two best players, at least from 2-3 years ago in terms of Peters, are gone. So it's not the same line anymore.
I've seen it in various places that this ramps up the chance that Jason Peters returns, but what would he kick to guard? Is that how that seems like a bit of a weird fit at this stage of his career, but a lot of people seem to be connecting dots on that.
Yeah. The beat writers seem to think that's not going to happen, but who knows? They're going to have to come up with something. I mean, just sliding in prior, who knows? There's some free agents out there, but either way, it's a big loss.
In other news, the San Francisco 49ers have done some business with their head coach, Kyle Shanahan, and the team agreed to a multi-year extension. It covers 6 years, and it replaces the 3 years that were left on his deal. So he's tied with San Francisco now through the 2025 season. As you might expect, it makes him amongst the highest paid coaches in football. And this feels like a no-brainer, quite frankly, Mark Sessler, because Shanahan has proven that he knows what he's doing. He's just fresh off a Super Bowl berth, and he's one of the young, most impressive offensive minds in the league, and has shown that he can handle the big chair as well.
Yeah, I think it's no-brainer is a perfect way to put it. And, you know, Shanahan, we saw what, you know, you talk about injuries in Philadelphia. The Niners during his first two seasons in San Francisco were utterly ravaged by injury. And so, you know, the stock was low, and it wasn't too long ago that on this show, we were questioning whether or not Shanahan and John Lynch might be hot seat material if last year's team didn't do what they did. But with a fully healthy roster, I think you saw what Mike Shanahan or what Kyle Shanahan is as a head coach. And I do think that honestly, he will be seen in time as one of the best around. Right now, I tweeted something about that yesterday. I got a lot of flack for it. That
he said he's going to be a top 10 coach of all time.
I do. I honestly, and look, I'm happy to be wrong about that, but I honestly think he will be. I think he already has the traits, and I think he's seen around the league as genius material. And, you know, you can point to the playoff stuff, the Super Bowl, the two Super Bowls that people want to pin on him. That's not how I would judge him entirely. I look at the whole body of work, and I think if you have him as your head coach, if you're a Niners fan, you are sitting pretty for a long time.
Yeah, my immediate thought was, first of all, that's the biggest respect you can get. You get a big extension, 3 years left in your contract. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You think they're extending any of us with 3 years left? No way. They're going to wait till it gets down to the end. You know, there's that much time. Let's just give them more. Let's give them a big time raise. I mean, that would be great. The second thing was where is John Lynch in this? Because they signed 2 6-year contracts. It was sort of famous. Wow, they're really committing to both of them for a long time. And they were on the same timeline. And some of the beat writers do believe that John Lynch could and should be next, and that he might get a promotion in terms of his title. But it is, I think, telling that Shanahan comes first. They didn't announce him together, which I don't know if it says anything. We'll see if Lynch gets extended. He's got plenty of time left on his deal. But Shanahan's the key guy of those two guys.
Well, sometimes you find out, too. You find out that, like, John Lynch was extended 2 months ago, and they just didn't announce it. You know, I could see them, like a lot of teams do, angling this from a PR angle where there's no question that the two of them their journey would continue together.
I'm going to put a little respect on the names of the all-time great coaches, Mark, because one of the things that you need to really be an all-time great is show that you can evolve and stay great over a long period of time. Shanahan, I know he had a nice run, a great run as an offensive coordinator. He's been a coach for 3 years, 6-10, 4-12, 13-3. He's obviously trending in the right direction, but that's a bold take, Mark. Is it connected at all with some passion to you because he was in the building of the Cleveland Browns and they let him out the door very quickly?
Not at all. I thought they handled that disgracefully. If anything, and this is not in any way, I'm not in any way trying to.
That's the passion I'm talking about. That maybe you're.
No, I think he everywhere he's gone, he has done remarkable stuff with his offensive players. And you want to look at early career troubles from a coaching record, I would point to the person I was fanning out hard for back in the 90s, Bill Belichick, where and I'm not saying, hey, look at me, I got this right. A lot of people knew he was a super talented defensive coordinator, but he struggled mightily as a head coach and struggled in every way that you could in Cleveland. Went to New England. What were they, 5-11 the first year? They're 1-3 the year after. And everyone thought, this Belichick guy, the fact that they traded picks for him, I don't get it at all. All these people were down on him. 3 months later, they've won the Super Bowl. So, I would look at Kyle Shanahan also, that when he's had a chance as an offensive coordinator, every team he's touched were transformed. And the same is now true of a Niners team that was a laughing stock 4 seasons ago.
It's a projection, but it's a bold one. And he, you know, if you wanted to look at offensive minds in the NFL over the last decade, who, you know, there aren't many better than Kyle Shanahan. I think a lot of people, you know, would agree with you on that. And that, and if you want to look at offensive minds in terms of impact in the last four decades, there's not many higher than Mike Shanahan. They almost should get more credit as like a, as an incredible family dynasty, but they don't have quite the amount of titles as probably they would like.
In other news, Colin Kaepernick continues to be at the forefront of the conversation. This time, Los Angeles Chargers coach Anthony Lynn spoke out in conversation with reporters saying teams would, quote, be crazy not to have Kaepernick on their workout list this summer. He also told reporters on Wednesday that the Chargers have not made plans to work out with Kaepernick and that he has not spoken to the former 49ers quarterback. But like Pete Carroll before him, says that Kaepernick obviously is worthy of consideration on a depth chart somewhere in the league, and it only takes one.
Yeah, he said that he'd fit the type of offense they want to run, which is interesting. You know, they have a top 10 draft pick. So that, you know, Justin Herbert's the guy it's all about, and you have Tyrod. But he did say, look, if there was an injury, that could be a guy that we would call. The whole, like, putting him on a workout list, like, that's not an official thing necessarily. He did point out, though, that they were not the team that called up Pete Carroll. So that is another team. And as we sort of wonder if Kaepernick can get back in the league, it really did strike me today as the Premier League was starting and someone alerted to this, us to this in our mentions, how the two teams in the first Premier League game back took a knee before they, you know, started the game, as did the official, I noticed too. It's really pretty amazing. It's amazing to see on a different continent, you know, protesting of racial inequality. It really started with like the way the police have handled, you know, black people here, but it's something that is made a worldwide impact. It's crazy. I know I'm rambling a little bit, but wow. I mean, it just like, it really strikes you when you see it across halfway across the world.
Well, I would suggest that Anthony Lynn, who, of all the coaches, probably came out with the most heartfelt, passionate statement about what was happening in our country, you know, a couple weeks ago, that I buy this. And I would look from a football angle too. You know, Dan, I remember that game, and Rex Ryan had a fascination with Tyrod Taylor, because he always was struck by how hard it was to deal with mobile quarterbacks. And now you can say Rex Ryan was, you know, behind on the times with that one, but he was a Tyrod fan. And I'll say this, that 34-0 game when Kaepernick was sprinkled into the Niners offense, 34-0 over the Jets, Anthony Lynn was part of that team. He was part of the Bills team that was fascinated with Tyrod Taylor. He's gone out of his way to stand for Taylor and call him his starter right now. So the idea that Kaepernick would have a place if they needed someone, I totally right. buy it from
but
Anthony
they need
Lynn.
An injury. They need – they'd be
well,
probably –
right, but that's true of everyone right now.
Yeah, not every – yeah, you're right. In L.A. at least, I think he needs a Tyrod injury probably.
Yeah, but you know, that said, and you look at their roster and Tyrod is amongst the best backups in the league, but at the same time, everybody's got the same similar opinion, it seems, on Kaepernick for the most part, that he would instantly become one of the league's better backups and maybe a starter if he got the opportunity. We're getting close to a trope alert here. I mean, I just, how many more coaches are we going to hear say, oh, how, what a talent this Colin Kaepernick is. You know, I'm not going to bring him into my team, but he'd be great on somebody else's team.
You have to answer
the question. How many times
are we going to
hear before somebody actually does it?
Right. It's just tricky. I don't fault Anthony Lynn because he's just answering the question. You know what I mean? Like, what can he do? He's trying to show the league's open.
But if this is going to become the new MO of all these coaches when they get asked about Colin right. Kaepernick, praise how great he is and then say, you know, I'm set. But, you know.
Well, I'd say this. I think that
something worth tracking here.
I hear you. We're in a totally different place than we were 6 months ago. And I think there is progress on some level there. It's fair to be suspicious. But when we start to get quarterback injuries and a bunch of no-namer, ham and egg type quarterbacks that have no experience are getting signed before Kaepernick, your point is valid. Right. Until then, I want to see that happen first.
And the biggest change is
but he's already better than a lot of these guys.
Everyone hear you. Agree. Not everyone is saying he's so much better than our backup quarterback. We just won't sign him. That's a couple coaches that have spoken on the matter.
But we could tick through the list right now. We're not going to, but of backup quarterbacks, And I know without doing a deep dive, that would be worthless, but where you could just say, oh, you know, I threw out Chad Henne as the Chiefs backup on Twitter the other day.
I would say half the
Matt Schaub would just talk about Geno Smith up in Seattle.
Look at the Rams roster. Why talk about
Joe
LA?
Flacco
fit
with
perfect
Jets.
With the Rams. Right.
The list goes on and on. I mean, there are plenty of teams that could stand to use somebody like Kaepernick.
And it is interesting, and Goodell's going to be asked about it. So, again, he's going to answer the question. But it was interesting to hear him quoted on ESPN saying, you know, he would encourage it. He used that word. I think he knows it would ultimately be good for the NFL, but he can't make an owner or a coach do it.
Right. I think there are coaches who would want to do it. And you're not hearing
coaches wasn't the problem. I'll go to my grave believing John Harbaugh specifically wanted to sign Kaepernick, period, in 2017, and that he was not allowed to.
I would slow down on one thing though. There are a lot of coaches. Having talked to just a couple people who said of all my coaching friends, many of them were super turned off by the protest, the kneeling. They were absolutely turned off by
it.
There's a mentality among coaching ranks. Others, I think, and that was years ago. Where are we now? I mean, but when we have owners, when you have five or six owners saying we would love to sign Kaepernick, I think that's where the change needs to happen. The owners have stayed silent.
In other news, let's do a little update on what's going on. We talked about Brandon Brooks, Eagles losing him. Alshon Jeffrey, a little update on him is that there really is no update. Doug Peterson said that the wide receiver is focusing on his rehab and getting strong, but he had Lisfranc surgery and still no timetable for a return. And this is obviously an important piece for the Eagles, who kind of have to hope, Greg, that Jeffrey gets healthy and turns back the clock. Otherwise, we might be dealing with a similar situation as last year. And I know they brought in a young wide receiver in the draft, but they kind of need Jeffrey to turn back the clock, or they're going to again be looking at a situation where there's a dearth of playmakers on the outside.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this one because I've seen like fantasy football and some projections for this season talking about, okay, well, they got, you know, Deshaun and Jeffrey back. It's like, first of all, Alshon Jeffrey wouldn't be on this team if his salary wasn't guaranteed. They wanted to cut him. I don't think they're going to expect. I would be shocked if he was playing at the beginning of the year. I don't know why, like coming off of a Lisfranc surgery that late in the calendar year, that's a quick turnaround for a guy who's had a lot of problems. And you did get the sense, I thought back in February or March, that he's more of a candidate to go on the PUP list. And it puts, you're right, a lot of pressure on Jalen Reagor, their first round pick. He's going to have to kind of be a hit because he's going to be a big part. I think anything they get from Jeffrey, who has just been beat up, is going to be a bonus.
I think there are Eagles fans that are still annoyed that the Cowboys, a few spots ahead of them, grabbed CeeDee Lamb. I mean, certainly all Eagles fans would be annoyed by that. But thinking that the Eagles should have been more aggressive to go get one of the top one or two guys in the draft didn't happen. And, you know, I don't know if it's because I've spent like the past 4 months just sitting in essentially three rooms inside my house, but it's suddenly mid to late June. You know, this offseason is not still three or four more months for these players to rehab. And you're hearing little whispers now about some players that have returned to the facilities saying not ready yet. And it's to have two of these issues with the Eagles in one news rundown is problematic.
Erica looks concerned, just like on our video.
Yeah, Ricky, where are you at on when you think about that Eagles depth chart? How concerned are you?
Yeah, I'm worried for that team. I'm worried for a lot of these teams. You know,
I like
Liz Frank. You can't come back from that.
I like when you take the mute off and you can hear the boats, you know, flying in the background or whatever.
I'm just getting my son. Like, you guys just keep going. Like,
it's like a woman on water skis, like waving to the whole crowd as she zooms past your manor.
Right, the helicopter right above, waiting to land on the helipad. Right,
yeah, I'm just like, I'm flagging it off. I'm like, come on, I'm trying to get the show over with.
Dad. Move the helicopter.
Sorry, dog.
All right. Finally in the news. Bad news in the kicker club. See, this is
my
why
dad
I want
only
my kicker.
Called me daughter, but go on, Dan. Sorry.
Yes.
Yes, daughter. This is why I like to keep my kickers in the club, because once they get out of the club, these guys are basically just maniacs. They're just
wild
uncontrolled
cards.
Yeah. Aldrick Rosas, who was a all-pro level kicker for the Giants two seasons ago, was arrested and jailed Tuesday for misdemeanor hit and run and driving on a suspended license. And he hit a car after running a red light. There's a belief that there could have been alcohol involved. This is the second incident for the Giants in the last month. Of course, DeAndre Baker, the first round pick last year, was arrested in connection with an armed robbery in Florida. So a little bit of a messy offseason for the Giants during COVID times.
I would just ask, when this is released on social an hour from now, what the response will be to, A, the tone of the music against the news that you've announced, and Erica essentially operating like she's at a rave in 1999 during what seems like a rather serious news piece.
This isn't Greg. Yeah, that's why we're not sending it on social. Yeah, Rosas is lucky. I mean, he might get...
We're so lucky to have Mark and Greg here as barometer of...
He was going over 100 miles an hour. Noble. He was going over 100 miles an hour, they said. So obviously it's like lucky no one got hurt. But they also found him just walking along the side of the road, bloody, with no shoes on. Like, you know, far away from where he left the car. And it's not a good enough plan.
Feet.
First of all, he's going 100 miles an hour. I've heard of shoeless kickers. He's a shoeless driver. Like, what's happening here?
Let's check in with Mark on the tone of Greg's comments right here. Mark, are these being a little bit, I don't know, flighty from Greg here?
Well,
I see what you're doing, and I'm not going to be party to it. I mean, it sounds like more like something that Dennis Hopper got up to in like 1971 than an NFL kicker in 2020. But, I don't know.
He was greeted as a legend for it.
One of the...
it's cool when a movie star does it, not when
one of the highest paid kickers in the league, and he went 12 for 17 last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he's kicked right off that team. Judge Joe is here, and he's maybe ready to dispense some justice.
That's a good one. There's so many places to go when the head coach is Joe Judge, because he could render a guilty verdict before the actual courts do on this one and say he gone.
Right, throw the case out.
Nice.
I don't know.
That's what's happening in the news.
Jackson over the middle, caught by Hollywood Brown. See you later, Hollywood, to the house. Jackson trying to run for it. Jackson avoids, spins, he's in, touchdown. Lamar Jackson is elusive.
Quarterback will take it himself, blocked by Sneed. He's got the corner, a block by the rookie wide receiver, Boykin. Touchdown.
Big trust.
Lamar Jackson.
They don't get a Super Bowl out of me.
The Baltimore Ravens up next in the Wheel of Teams. And as we do every week, we reach out and connect with somebody who gets it, someone who knows the team, someone who can give us the insight that we couldn't possibly have from our chair. And this man is Glenn Clark. He's a columnist for PressBox and a guy that really knows his Ravens. Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast, Glenn.
Heroes, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Look at that. Glenn is just coming with the heroes right off the top. I mean, buttering us up. That'll work.
Glenn. Selfishly, so Greg is like one of my favorite people on the face of the planet. Guys, I don't want this to be offensive, but like this is almost, you have to know how much I love Greg. Like, I just want to stare into his eyes.
Stop
and,
this.
And talk tennis to him. He's one of my
slightly
favorite
concerned, people. But
it's weird. Yeah. It's
this,
weird.
This
it's
isn't
weird.
Helping your case here, Glenn. It started off well. Now it's going off the rails.
I do know. Now it makes sense. Greg pushed very hard for Glenn, and that was all part of the payoff, it seems.
We just want to talk some Serena by the end of it. That's really
I would ask Greg. I would have Greg come on my show every week and be like, dude, we'll do like 10 minutes. We would legitimately go for like 25 minutes, and about 12 of them would end up being about things that literally only he and I cared about.
Well, maybe if that goes in this direction on our show, Mark and I will just take a seat and maybe pop a chair and relax. Glenn, the Ravens are in an interesting place right now. They're in that rarefied air, which is both good and also potentially cursed, where you are in Super Bowl or bust mode. You're the best team in the league last season during the regular season, 14-2, setting records. You have the MVP behind center. It all goes to hell off the playoff bye. But at the same time, optimism is really probably never been higher or close to it in Baltimore right now, right?
And it should be, right? Like, you look at this roster, what's the complaint, right? Like, could you have a little bit more in the true pass rush department? Like, could you have gone out and gotten somebody that was more of a true sack artist instead of upgrading the defensive line, which was their priority, and hoping that that will help in that department? You could have done that, I guess. They could have added a little bit more as far as wide receiver was concerned. They grabbed Duvernay and Prochet in the draft, but they could have gotten more of a top guy. Outside of that, what's your complaint about the roster? They got to figure out interior line a little bit with Marshall Yonder's retirement, but it's stacked pretty much everywhere. The secondary is overwhelming. Lamar Jackson is the MVP. They have four legitimate NFL running backs in their backfield. It is really hard to figure out what you don't like about this roster and why they wouldn't be able to compete to win a Super Bowl.
Not hard for Mark. He never likes the Ravens.
Well, I mean, I certainly respect what they've accomplished as a suffering Browns fan, but I have to ask you this, because you know, Lamar Jackson last year, 176 carries, obviously the heart and soul of the offense, but you mentioned those four backs, and J.K. Dobbins is a fascinating draft pick for them. How do you use Dobbins, Lamar, and Ingram on the ground? How do you think they want to, and do you see the offense just simply looking the way it did last year? Or are there any distinct signposts that it may be changed a bit to take some of that heat off of Lamar Jackson on the ground?
I don't think so, honestly. I think that they've sort of not hidden from the fact that Lamar's going to run. That's what they're going to do. They're not afraid of the injury stuff. Part of it is his athleticism. He does not take those types of hits. He's not that type of runner. He is really good at getting out of bounds and avoiding it. So they're not afraid of that, and they know how much of a weapon it is. And when they put backs in front of him that can block, I mean, it's almost impossible. What can you do about that as a defender? So I don't think they're going to try to get away from that at all. I do think Dobbins is fascinating, right? Like, can they have both of those guys on the field at the same time? Of course they can, but they're not wildly different types of backs, right? He and Ingram. So I think it'll be interesting to see if we see more of Dobbins being used as a pass catcher than he was at Ohio State, right? Where he was more of a true runner. They believe he has the ability to be that type of player, but we haven't seen a ton of it just because he wasn't asked to do it. That'll be fascinating. I think there's a lot of us that sort of quietly would not be surprised to see J.K. Dobbins ultimately be more of a featured back in this offense
right,
as the year goes on. And you know, that's not a knock on Mark Ingram, who was very good. It's just look at the skill set of J.K. Dobbins and tell me why you wouldn't want that guy to have more and more touches as the year goes on.
Our friend in the desert, or I guess he's no longer there, the consigliere, spice rack, you know, thinks he's the next Emmett Smith. Thought that's the comparison. And I think the thinking was, A, Ingram's not going to be there forever. And B, they ran the ball 600 times last year, which is probably their ideal. They can't really expect to run 600 times every year. It's kind of outrageous.
But go really well.
It's like you do need a bunch of guys if you're going to try to run 600 times and have all the plays that Greg Roman has. And you know he's not going to come back with all the same, you know, tricks. He's gonna try to advance it. He's going to try to develop the running game even further. And they're so hard to defend. To me, the key, though, might be the receivers, though. I mean, it's Brown and Miles Boykin. Their top two receivers are second-year players.
Right.
And they're hoping Boykin is their second best receiver. So that, you know, I know everyone loves, Hollywood Brown, but that to me is like where the growth can come from, those two guys.
And Greg, it's a major injury concern, right? Like Hollywood Brown was literally not practicing for much of last season. They were sort of just trusting it, like, and for good reason. He showed up and he played well and he was a great fit with Lamar Jackson. So there's some risk involved with that. Clearly, the way they used Mark Andrews was more like a receiver, and I think that we will see more of an expansion upon that, seeing him out wide more often. They're very comfortable with Nick Boyle as their blocking tight end, and we know that they're probably going to keep a third tight end, either somebody that's not on the roster right now or one of the undrafted free agents like Jake Breland from Oregon, because they want to have two, three tight ends on the field at the same time, and they want to be able to use Mark Andrews that way. So I think in their mind, that solves some of that. But yeah, they need Miles Boykin to be more than – he was an exceptional blocker, and that sort of gets lost in the shuffle. He was an outstanding blocker for this team a year ago in the run game. He showed some flashes of being able to make some plays. They need him to be more of a downfield threat. And then how do they mix in both Duvernay and Prochet, who have great hands, and that helps with whatever small accuracy things Lamar still has. How do they get those guys involved? I think Duvernay, they're hoping in particular – can be more of a weapon type that they can line up in a bunch of different ways, not trying to pretend like he's Debo Samuel, but that type of stuff.
Lamar Jackson was on a podcast, a load management podcast, shortly after being named the Madden cover athlete, pinch me. And he said this about the playoff struggles of the past 2 years.
We should have put in a request here. If he's going on load management, we could have had Lamar. Come on.
We didn't get him either. I'm not thrilled about it. It's all right.
Lamar said, that's what's happened in the playoffs. And we end up losing to the team people had us favored over. It's any given Sunday. You can't underestimate no team, no opponent. And that's what we did, referring to the Titans. Interesting comment there that perhaps the Ravens went in overconfident in January. Do you buy into that at all, or is it more just an excuse? Is there a weakness? Is there an actual weakness on this team that was exposed in January and could be done again?
So, look, do I buy into it? Maybe. I definitely think it's partly an excuse. They just did not play that well. And I think Lamar, part of it, and this is one of the things we don't like talking about, for as good as Lamar was all season, and he was in the regular season before that, he hasn't played well, particularly in the two playoff games. He's put up numbers as the games went on because he's had to throw a lot, but he didn't play well out of the chute in the two playoff games. And, you know, again, it's his first two playoff games. It is certainly not an indictment, and there's a lot of idiots and hot take artists that want to say he's a bad playoff quarterback. We have no idea. We are so early on in Lamar Jackson's career to
figure that out. In Baltimore? Are you hearing that?
No, in the rest of the country. In the rest of the country, there's a lot of those types.
National folk.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. You guys know the types.
Yeah, no, around here, look, I mean, you can't have the season that he had and really have anybody that's a detractor of Lamar Jackson.
Right.
You know, they all want to name their kids Lamar in this town right now. But no, I mean, he's got to play a little bit better in the postseason. And the Ravens, the biggest story of what happened in the Titans game is they had two really gutsy calls to go for it that backfired on them. And it changed the course of the game. And then one big Derrick Henry run later, they were behind the eight ball and they weren't able to dig out of it. Did that happen because they were overlooking the Titans? It was the same thing they did all year. They went for it. They were aggressive in short yardage, fourth down situations, no matter where they were on the field. It backfired in one game. The play calling was certainly questionable on those particular plays. That's the biggest story of what happened in the playoffs. The biggest story is they went for it on fourth and short twice. They failed both times, and it changed the momentum of that game.
I agree with you that you look at this roster, and every roster across the league is going to have a few spots that need some upgrading. But you're right. Baltimore, there's not an overt Achilles heel. I would say that it's interesting to see what happens if they wind up starting two rookie linebackers. I think Patrick Queen, just because I trust the Ravens, and I feel like I've seen this happen 100 times, he is my odds on favorite to just put him in there for defensive rookie of the year, because that's just what the Ravens seem to do. But you have Malik Harrison also penciled in potentially to start beside him. That's not the easiest scenario for two rookies to shine in typically in the NFL.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to use Malik a little more outside than necessarily line him up from day one inside. They still have LJ Fort, who played really well for them a season ago, a guy they picked up off the scrap heap. And then I don't think any of us are going to be surprised if they try to go 5-6 defensive backs again this season for a lot of snaps. I mean, they did it a year ago, and they love the depth they have in the secondary. Again, it's maybe them and the Chargers, right, the two best secondaries in all of football. They've got the players, and they've got players they feel comfortable using as hybrids. Even an Anthony Levine, who's a veteran, who's more of a special teams guy, they've been comfortable putting him out there in sort of safety and linebacker roles in the past. They are very comfortable with that. So I would be surprised if on day one, Malik Harrison, that's just sort of his role. I think they're going to try to use him in different ways, and certainly he'll get snaps there, but I don't know that that's just going to be the case on day one.
How is what's covering the Ravens like right now? I feel like it's, the other day I was mentioning they're a one sport town. I kind of forgot about the Orioles.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's a bad job.
At the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like the energy around the Ravens when they're like halfway decent is just outrageous, that it's one of the best football towns in the country. And that, so like right now, coming off of the season they have, I have to feel like they're about as dominant in their hometown as anyone other like than the Green Bay Packers and a couple other teams like that, like that they're just like superstars.
in a weird way, it's bad for column writing because you don't have anything to complain about, right? Like, there's nothing that you can say particularly in negative ways. But no, you're 1,000% right, Greg. I mean, it's pandemonium. It is absolutely a city that is completely lost and embraced, and this franchise can do no wrong. Even in the sometimes they do things wrong. It's really hard for anybody to buy into that because it's a franchise that has so often gotten things right and has so consistently won and competed at a high level that even when they do something wrong, it's really hard to say, hey, this might not be exactly the right thing to have done.
Like training camps like Lollapalooza there. Like, I don't know. Like that says a lot to me.
It's wild, man. It's wild. I mean, people have been waiting for it. Look, it helps right now. The Orioles are not very good. In 2012, 13, 14, when the Orioles were playing well, you know, they mattered and people cared and it was a big deal, but it didn't still detract from the Ravens. This is a franchise that truly, you know, it's bigger than life. It's what matters in this city. And Lamar Jackson, you know, he might have won a writing campaign for mayor if he had ran this.
And maybe it's that president passion. While he's at it.
And it's that passion, Glenn Clark, which makes the decision of Art Modell the right one ultimately to take the Browns out of Cleveland.
All right, that'll be fine.
Yes or no?
yes or I mean, no? It worked out okay for him. Look, it's a sore subject even for us to talk about, right? Because we in Baltimore wish that the story was told of what he did for our city after a wrong that we experienced and what my father went through as a football fan.
The moving truck to Indianapolis.
We want that side of the story. Now, we're also sympathetic to, like, you know, I hold no ill will towards any Browns fan. In fact, I feel terribly sorry for what Browns fans have had to put up with over the course of the last two decades. It's just that we think of Art Modell in a way that, like, I understand it's going to be different. We feel very strongly about it. He did a wonderful thing for our city and really helped to change the dynamic of the city of Baltimore. And I don't mean that to be, you know, trite. I'm not trying to pretend like there aren't still crime problems in the city of Baltimore.
You don't have to. I was just trying to get Mark fired.
We always hear one side of the story.
You know? No, I mean, it's
the other side.
I think it would be the wound would have healed more comprehensively if the Browns had done anything on their own in the past 20 years to resemble a real football team. And that's probably been the bigger cost. I get annoyed. Most Ravens fans that I run into are super passionate, knowledgeable, and they love their team and they deserve to. It's the occasional 25-year-old that I run into in a sports bar who's a Ravens fan and has no idea that they were the Browns. To me, like, that and lack of history is where.
Mark ran into this one guy. I forget where it was, but ever since then, the Ravens fans have
been. In Mark's defense, 95% of 25-year-old guys are terrible people.
Okay, so, but he's on to something. You know, that happens. Like, I was definitely a terrible person at 25. I might not be that
so bad was I.
at 36, I was definitely a terrible person at 25.
Glenn, because we're good to our guests and because I know this would mean a lot to Greg, Erica, can you put 60 seconds on the clock so Greg and Glenn can talk tennis? Put it on the clock. And Mark, let's hit the mute and just let them enjoy themselves.
Well, we should talk about the U.S. Open thing. They just announced that they're actually playing it this year. Djokovic says he might not even come over for it.
He's playing. Stop. He's playing. He's trying to use his leverage in order to get the restrictions.
Here's what we don't want to hear. Like, wine, like guys who make like $40 million a year complaining that they don't like the setup. They don't need Djokovic.
Okay, you may be right about that. They need Djokovic, especially without Federer. Also, can you be both a nutritionist and a trainer at the exact same time? Come on. I couldn't live that way. Who can live that way?
I think there's like 15 seconds. Just talk about Venus Williams. This has to be one of the great athletes of the last few decades.
Is today her birthday? Did I see that right?
Wow.
Today is her birthday. She's amazing. I love Venus Williams. Not as much as you do, obviously, because no one possibly could. But the way that she changed tennis, I don't think anybody will ever be able to.
Tough spot. Your older sister comes along and is the greatest ever. It's a tough spot. People forget that. All right, that's it.
Good chatter.
Thank you. Thank you.
Glenn, you came and you dominated. You talked on a high level about two sports, and I'll count the Orioles chatter in there too. So three sports. Follow him at Glenn Clark Radio and check out his columns, his work at Pressbox. And You're a Boy Meets World expert, according to Twitter, which to me, all it says is you weren't old enough to truly understand Saved by the Bell. So you get your generation gets Boy Meets World, and that's your burden, not mine.
You better get that clock going again. I got a lot more sleep. Heroes, truly an honor. Seriously, really appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks man.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. All right. That was great. Glenn Clark at Glenn Clark Radio. Make sure you give him a follow. Greg, you have done such great work, yeoman's work on the old projected starter series. And is there anything that we didn't really touch on that you noticed in your write-ups?
Well, I think the signing of Derek Wolfe and Calais Campbell was just massive in terms of where this team goes. So Glenn kind of alluded to it, that they chose not to really get a premier pass rusher. It's just Matthew Judon, who's a franchise tag guy. I remember going to camp last year. That was one of the big questions, was where are they going to get a pass rush from? And on paper, it didn't look very good. And in the end, if you look at the numbers in terms of the pressure that they created, they had a ton. Sometimes you get pressure by having a good secondary, and then you have Wink Martindale dialing up all these crazy pressures. I think no one blitzed more than they do. I just think of that like game against the Jets, but there were many more where just the blitzes are so creative. Now you have that, plus you have Calais Campbell, who's still playing at a high level. And I say what, I think Derek Wolfe could end up being one of the more underrated signings, because I thought he played pretty well when he was healthy. He's had a lot of injuries over the last few years, so it's a boom or bust signing. But those two guys, they tend to find really good over 30 guys, and that could be Wolfe and Campbell. And their defense really does have some room to improve. Like, they were just okay last year. They could be a lot better.
Behind me, by the way, if you guys have been wondering, this is the Gatesville Courthouse.
Oh, then you have the painting behind you for the audio listeners. You're in the office. Yeah.
Not in the court. That's right down the street. And it's a beautiful old building. And Gatesville is also known as the spur capital of Texas. And I asked my mother-in-law. Yeah, well, I asked my mother-in-law. It's like, let's think bigger than that, because it's on the big water tower. Spur capital of Texas. If you're the spur capital of Texas, you have to assume you're the spur capital of the United States. And if you're the spur capital of the United States, you have to assume you're the spur capital of the goddamn world.
Well, I'd agree. I mean, you might get a few, Dan, you're a cowboy, as you mentioned, so you would understand the lifestyle.
Horse.
But
I ride.
Right. I mean, some guys from New Mexico and Arizona probably would contend that they should be in the mix. But you're right.
Antonio, famous for their Spurs.
But if you're already saying that you run Texas on that front, then you have to go world. And I think, Dan, what you're bringing overall is a larger perspective to this town about how media can be used to
manipulate it,
enlighten and help a town like that town. So it really comes back to you doing a quality job during your visit.
And I'm not even joking about this. If I do get the interview, I'm going to bring up the Spur thing.
Yeah,
because I think they could. In terms of branding, that could be big.
You're an idea man. And, I think they're going to recognize that the minute they get 2 inches into this column, the reader. So
Sometimes you could drop some breadcrumbs about potential political office. Maybe you're the mayor that they need. This could be your first platform that not just in Texas, but the world, the spur capital, that could be kind of your main platform. Sometimes you need an outsider. It's like, Liz Warren swoops into Massachusetts, just takes over. She's in Oklahoma.
Let me just say this, Greg. Liz Warren, not that you're stating that, but Liz Warren would not do well around these parts.
No, but I'm saying she's in Oklahoma.
And I would align closer to a Liz Warren than who is, the person that gets supported around these.
I'm just saying she's an Oklahoma woman, but you wouldn't know it. She just comes into Massachusetts and steps right up.
Carpetbaggers.
All right. Good stuff. Good show. The Ravens. Super Bowl or bust. That's it. You're in a tough situation there. That's not an easy world to live in, because the only one team gets to hoist the Lombardi. And if you don't do it, Harbaugh and Lamar are going to really be feeling the heat a year from now. That's just the way it works.
You're right. It being like the number one seed that loses early in the playoffs, you're absolutely right, because you kind of get it on both ends. You kind of wasted last season, and then you come into this one with like more expectations than possible. You're right.
The only thing I hate schedules, but we're getting close to their schedule is markedly less thorny than it was a year ago. You go from the NFC West to the NFC East, and there are a million examples in the NFL of a team that went 14-2, collapsed in the playoffs, and came back with a lesser regular season record and won the Super Bowl. I can think of a Bill Walsh Niners team that did that from 88 to when he left the team, 87 to 88, and then the year later they were even more dominant. I mean, the regular season record concerns me a lot less than other stuff.
I think they were the best team I've ever seen other than the 07 Patriots in the regular season, at least the last 20 years. I'm counting the last 20 years. And so
they just toyed with teams.
It's not overlooked, but because Lamar is so young, just like how devastating that is to have that good of a team and to go out right away.
The only thing I'd say about them is when, and I can understand why they want to pad the backfield, when they lost Ingram, when he wasn't really healthy after that injury and Mark Andrews got hurt a little bit, they were not the same offense. So they were healthy otherwise the entire time. They come into LA and they just dropped a megaton bomb on the Rams. But luck, carrying it over would require everyone to stay out of harm's way, which is iffy for any NFL
team. So compelling. We weren't even done talking about him. That's how compelling they are.
Unbelievable. All right. We'll be back on Monday with another show. Like I said, we do not have a network show this week. It is Juneteenth, and it's is it officially a national holiday now? If it's not, it's getting there.
Not national. No, some states have it. Many of the teams are recognizing it, and the NFL did, but no, not nationally.
And we are employees of the NFL, so we are recognizing it on our podcast, and our broadcast show. So you won't see us on Friday on the network, but we'll be back with another pod on Monday. So make sure you tune in for that. Also, haven't asked you to do this in a while, but how about leave some reviews and some 5-star ratings over on iTunes? And I think next week, Mark, it's been a while, Ricky. It's been a while. Let's check in on the iTunes reviews and see what people have to say about our fair show. And speaking of checking in with Ricky, did you do the digging that I asked of you about the Guinness Book of World Records, and has a sports podcast ever recorded in 3 time zones before?
Ouch. Well, I did. I went to the Guinness World Book of Records, and Dan, Greg, you can shake your head at me and think that I'm lying, but Dan, didn't I tell you on Monday after the show that I went on their website and there is a search function, and I searched sports, I searched podcasts, I searched time zones with radio. Nothing has come up so far.
Well, you just had made a face. That was why I was worried. So what did it say like in the digital copy that you took out of the library?
In the digital? Oh, I didn't like read all the Guinness World Record books. I went to their website.
You didn't check like the actual.
But what's book. The, all right, Ricky, what's the
Which
action
are freely
step?
Available. I mean, you could just get it digitally. From
but I looked through their database and it's not there. What's it, so why would I read all of the Guinness World Record books?
No, what's the next action step here? Because to get it, I would imagine a bulk of the records in that book, then it's not like somebody looked it up and said, I'm going to break this record. Some are set and no one even thought it to be a record until it happened. And I was like, that's what happened with us.
I think you have records.
Well, why don't you, what if you were to go to Guinness? And I'm not trying to put more work on your plate, Erica, there in New Hampshire, but you know, to maybe reach out to Guinness and suggest this is a title that should exist at this point. And by the way, maybe here's the answer.
Well,
if
you three podcast
holder.
Bozos would let me speak before you cut me off again, there was a contact us on the page and I did send an email, and your little dig about all this work I'm doing in New Hampshire, Mark, was uncalled for.
I am saying I don't want to add more work. Like,
right.
But, well, you've
all
done
your
the
hard work and then in New Hampshire, just got to add that because I already emailed Guinness World Record Books. Greg, why don't you go read a digital library or something?
This is not going well.
I would say, because I don't want to get you angry and I don't want to make this an uncomfortable situation, but if you don't hear back via email and the contact us page, because very rarely do people get positive results, this might be a pick up the phone situation. That's all.
Okay.
Seems appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, Guinness is fully, you know, staff during a pandemic, so I'll give
them
a call.
Let's not make assumptions.
I'm not making
here in Texas.
Assumptions.
I'm telling you, Walmart, I went back in. I counted 15 straight people before I saw a mask. Some people are fully ramped up against the COVID-19 spread, and other parts of the country seem to be back to normal. So
yeah, but the second spike is starting to happen now, too, especially in Texas. So you make sure you keep wearing your mask.
We're still on the first one. Hasn't even ended. What other podcast records
care about
were
you.
In there? What other podcast records were in there?
I don't know. You guys were listed for the most annoying one, though.
Oh, damn.
We deserve that. That's good, Ricky. That's a nice job by you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get out of here. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the boss, Ricky Hollywood. Ricky New Hampshire.
Rookie Hollywood.
Doesn't
great.
Have the same ring.
Great.
Rookie New Hampshire.
Until Monday.
So wait, are there people working outside that door then?
He gone. No, maybe one person because he.
So
because of COVID.
Can they hear you like sit like shouting like he gone?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's not great.